Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
Hello again, it is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around in circles. Steve Post, pit reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd, how are you?
I'm great. Great. A great weekend of racing. Hey, did you ever think that you'd see a whole rear-end housing come out of a truck?
No. I was out and about. I did a sprint car weekend. Okay, so yeah. When I'm on sprint car weekends, I'm kind of in my own little world, and I saw, the first thing I saw was a meme, and I'm like, well, when you see a meme that good, it's like, I've got to find out what in the world's going on. No, I can't even imagine what the deal was there.
Dug a little bit into that, but, the truck arms broke right in front of the U-bolt. When we talk about the rear suspensions, they're like the rear suspensions are two I-beams.
Yeah.
3-inch tall, 2-inch wide, 1/8-inch material. We call them truck arms because they're like 1960s truck geometry. Yeah. It's two swing arms with springs in the back. But I got to believe that wheel hop. Marco Andretti, not familiar with the NASCAR world.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And a place where downshifts can really make that rear end. Because what happens is When you really get on the brakes in the back where you downshift hard, the rear suspension wraps up and that whole I-beam, it's 51 inches long and it'll just twist itself and it grips releases and I think it's like a paperclip. You bend it enough times, it ends up breaking.
This is Cup Xfinity and Truck. This place is brutal because you have some of the most high speed areas, and then you have this is a big challenge for any car.
Yeah, I feel like the braking zone into 12 is probably the biggest braking zone we'll see all year long.
Wow.
From the Cup cars are north of 170 miles an hour and slowing down to 60, 50 to make the corner. So it's 110
miles, 110.
Yeah, it's 110 degree corner that they're coming to.
So you're scrubbing 120 miles per hour out of that race.
That's a big braking zone. As I think through it, I just don't, Watkins Glen at the bus stop has a decent one, but I think it's about 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a challenge. You've got every facet here. You've got the rhythm section through the stadiums. You've got the S's.
Yeah.
You've got big braking zones. You've got big long straightaways. You've got everything. The elevation change into turn one till you stand in front of it, you don't understand it on TV. So a cool racetrack. And I thought good races in all three cases. Very clean in the Cup race. The only cautions we had were the stage breaks.
How about we've talked about William Byron and Rudy Fugel. This is one of those teams we talk about, championship caliber, front running teams. Rudy in his post race interview said there was two things to race for, the pole and the win, and we got both of them this weekend. What a great performance from car build to execution and everything between.
Yeah, the whole weekend. Second best car won a race.
Yep. First best was
Christopher Bell.
Yeah, he was rolling.
Christopher Bell, but by far, was the best car.
That's my opinion. Yeah.
My opinion, Todd's opinion, and that's opinions are my own, but he had a 19.6 second pit stop, the first stop, and that buried him. If he has a normal, and they had a fueling issue on it, there was a couple things that happened there, but that should have been a 13 to 14 second pit stop. If it's a 14 second pit stop, you win. I'm just going to throw it out there but to your point, they didn't execute perfectly. The 2014 did. They won the pole. That's executed. We went on Saturday. Yeah. That's a big thing because they get your pit stall.
Yep.
He called the conservative race, and Rudy's been on record of talking about this, that he could have two-stopped it, but he said, I'm going to short the stages, both stages, just play the conservative race.
When you have a good car and you have track position in a good car, you can go more conservative. You don't have to roll the dice.
And the worst pit stop they had, I think, was a 10-6.
Man, they were good pit stops, so solid pit stops.
There were two 10s and a 9.
Yeah.
And they're taking fuel. I mean, like that last 10-3 that they had
was fuel.
They waited a little bit on fuel. So the pit crew executed, the car build executed, the qualifying executed, and they ended up winning the race. I don't want to discount. I think they were the second best car.
Right.
They were the second best car by far. I just thought the 20 car speed, Christopher Bell drove a phenomenal race outside of not executing on pit road.
Yep. That is what it boils down to. Really, truly is. Great, great run. What in the wide world of sports is going on with the Fords, Todd?
Ooh. Yeah.
How far are we into panic time?
Well, I don't think we're there.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't think we're there because it's funny because Monday night on Brad Gilley and I had this conversation on the late shift on Sirius XM. Go back a year.
Go back 12 months. Yeah. 12 months. Yeah.
Everybody in the Ford camp was, we can't race.
Yeah. Hair was on fire.
What manufacturer won a championship?
Yeah. When Blaney goes and wins the Coke 600, and then the RFK guys get rolling in the middle of the year, and then Blaney got rolling at the end of the year. Yes. So, yeah, I think it's fascinating to me because 2023 is the reason your hair probably should not be on fire.
And that's the piece you're looking back at, and it's recent history. So, do they have work to do? Yes, they do. Do they have people that are capable of doing the work? I think when you look at the three major organizations, Team Penske, RFK, Stuart Haas, I think they're all capable of doing that. And I mean, Ryan Blaney's had decent runs.
Yeah.
Not a great weekend, but I don't know that COTA is a place that I would look at as a stronghold for Team Penske. RFK, Brad looked like he was out to lunch. Oh. Chris Buescher salvaged a top 10 day.
Road course guru right there. Road course ace. He really is good at that.
We'll see where it goes. I'll be interested. I think after we get done with Martinsville, these next two races, with the simplified aero, diffuser, we'll see where everybody's at and what they've learned out of Phoenix coming forward. The Toyotas at Phoenix, I thought, were exceptional. The Fords were decent.
Mm-hmm.
The Chevrolets were off. Now, it'll be interesting to see how that comes back. I don't think we're quite at panic mode, but I do think everybody understands there's work to do.
I think the next three races are, I think the next two are fascinating because the short tracks, and then we go to another intermediate with Texas. To me, once we clear Texas, okay, let's see where we're at here now, because we've got a couple of everything now, one road course, but a couple of everything else.
Well, you've taken the data point of Vegas and now the new body styles, the Camry XSE, who I thought showed potential at Vegas, but didn't really have all of it because I don't think they had it all sorted out. Now they've had a data point to sort that back out. It'll be interesting to see how the Ford and Toyota stack up with the Chevrolet going to Texas.
Yep. Like to go to this part of the segment and give an attaboy or two. Attaboy to AJ Allmendinger and Travis Mack up at sixth place finish. You expect to go to COTA and places like that and win races with AJ. They were solid, strong. They were six. They had to be sixth place all day long.
You say that, but Travis Mack was doing SVG's car.
Oh, okay.
Right, AJ was in the 13.
He was in the 13. That's right. Had the wrong. That's right.
You just go back to thinking that it's that. But we had SVG and AJ. I think both were competitive there. But
SVG. When you lose first gear, you're along for the ride.
You know who else I want to give an added boy to is Alex Bowman, putting his second top five race together. I think that program, Blake and he are doing a good job of just getting themselves back on track to where they need to be.
Yep, and we are going to talk to Blake today on the show. Blake is our guest on the show. Other winners down at COTA, NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Corey Heim picked up the win, and Scott Zipidelli, 19 wins in the Truck Series. He's a rock star over there. He really is, with a lot of different drivers.
And they did a great job. They didn't win the pole, but Corey talked about it. He thinks he can get better. He did a good job and ended up, I think Connor Zilich won the pole, but didn't quite have the pace at the end of the race that Corey did. Corey and Scott, great pairing.
Yes, it is. NASCAR Xfinity Series, Kyle Larson picked up the win. A great race, a great recovery, or that team really picked him up and lay him down. Greg Ives, how about this? I love this. We love Greg Ives. We chatted with him last year on the show. He's just one of the really good guys. His 20th anniversary with Hendrick Motorsports was on Saturday, and he got to celebrate it in Victory Lane. That's not a bad way to celebrate your 20th anniversary.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Glad for Greg in that situation. They survived, and, it was another one of those COTA races where you got I mean, Big Country pushed SVG down into turn one. I don't know how he didn't expect to get it back. He did.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyle Larson took advantage of it.
Yes, absolutely. Kyle Larson is sitting there in third place saying, all right, boys.
Yeah.
Watch this. Yeah. Where are you? The only thing I need to know is where are you guys going to do
Which way are you
going to
wreck?
Which way are you going to wreck? Exactly. Great stuff. So congratulations to Greg Ives and Scott Zipidelli also getting wins. As I mentioned, Blake Harris from over at Hendrick Motorsports. He joins us here on Crew Call next.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone. With Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. As we talked about in our opening segment, let's go to the Zoom line. Joining us from over at Hendrick Motorsports, crew chief on that Ally Chevrolet Camaro for Alex Bowman. Blake Harris joins us. Hello, Blake. How are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
We're fantastic. Todd and I are living our lives in radio land. You're living your life in NASCAR land where you've got two straight fourth place finishes. Let's talk a little bit about the performance and just where you guys are at with a little momentum as we roll into this portion of the season.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the last couple of weeks, you know, certainly happy with us being able to put some finishes together. Felt like we went a couple few weeks there, we couldn't buy a break. And I don't know that we've had anything maybe handed to us the last couple of weeks by any means. But yeah, we've been able to execute, especially late in the race and kind of get ourselves up in the mix. So really excited about that. You know, that bringing home our third top five of the year, it's a big deal for us and just continue to try to build on the momentum we've got right now.
You kind of worked your way forward methodically, it seemed like, at COTA. Kind of just, and I expected Alex is one of that's always been there at the end. In the last pit cycle, you were the first of the top 10 cars, I would say the first of the competitive cars to come to pit road. What was it, lap 44, I think it was. Was that close on fuel? Did you have to save to make it from there? A couple of Stuart Haas guys, I think, came earlier than you, but ran on the last lap.
Yeah, just talking about that entire stint, right, and how our race happened. We didn't execute and get the lap that we wanted in qualifying and had to start 17th. And at that point, you know, I knew for us, I felt through practice, really both practices, that we had raw speed. And Alex does a phenomenal job at COTA. I mean, he, like you mentioned, he's always in the mix there, does a really good job. And, you know, I just felt like, you know, for a shot to win the race, we're going to have to throw everything out, right? Like we couldn't worry about stage points. It was just straight from the drop of the green working on track position, right? So depending on when we pitted and how we pitted on guys we were racing, every call we made was just based on trying to chip away, you know, as you mentioned, methodically through that and put ourselves in the best position. So really what happened there was we got coming up to that last pit cycle, you know, we had just gotten into the top five that last little bit of run. So at the front half of those runs, you know, our pace is a little bit different than the leaders. And we had come out and cut a couple laps right off the pit cycles, right? But you're still kind of managing your tires. So, you know, we're a little bit of guesswork at fuel mileage. And I knew it was going to be tight. You know, our window of what we thought it was going to be prior to the race, we certainly pushed it by an additional lap there. But, you know, we got right in that window. We were fourth. We got right in that window where I thought we may be able to jump those guys. And we put ourselves out. I mean, you know how the pit cycles go with traffic and all those things. And we put ourselves, we just missed, one of the windows we were looking for. And we got stuck on a couple lap cars there on that out lap. And that really was our opportunity. You know, I felt like, yes, we were going to be tight on fuel. Yes, even if we'd come out with a lead, you know, we're going to have to get a little bit better mileage and essentially what we did. But, you know, I felt confident if we could get him to the lead and let him dictate the pace early on there, manage his tires a little bit better, that we would have a shot. And that was what I thought our best shot was to win the race. And I knew it was going to be tight with another HMS car as good as the 24 was. And once we didn't come out with a lead, you know, he was driving wheels off trying to go get the lead. And we just kind of burn our stuff up through traffic. And once the 54 and 20, you know, got by us at that point, it just made the most sense to make sure we could bring it home on fuel.
Yeah, definitely one of those things. I guess I want to hit this one. We go back to where this aero package debuted itself at Phoenix. Chevrolets as a whole were pretty disappointed and nervous about the output of Phoenix. Both you and the 24, and actually Ross Chastain and the 1, look pretty competitive here at COTA. Does that calm the concerns about this aero package?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, as competitors, right? We just want to continue to improve. So I don't know that I can relate a lot of the Phoenix to road course stuff, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's so much different, so many unanswered questions that at least that I feel like we have at this point in the year. We're on the very early stages of development, right? With the lack of, you know, wind tunnel time and things that we get. I mean, I got a list of 100 things that we don't have answers to. So super fortunate that we were able to, you know, hit the balance relatively well. I think, you know, the guys that you're mentioning, Ross has run really well there. You know, William's been really good at the road courses of late, and really as a whole in the next gen through his career. Alex runs phenomenal at COTA. So I don't know that I put a ton of correlation yet into that package and how, you know, we feel as Chevrolet or in the Chevrolet camp. But, you know, I was really proud of HMS's speed, right? Like Kyle got up to fifth before he got spun. The 9 was right in the mix there with us for a while until he got his off track, you know, limit issue. So, I feel good as a whole as far as what we're building here at HMS. And, you know, I don't know. I'm slow to move on opinions, right? Like I need more data,
more data points
to have an opinion. But yeah, certainly, I don't think that I would correlate, you know, Phoenix and COTA with that package yet until we get. I think I may have a different opinion after a couple of weeks. So how about that?
Yeah, we've got two of them coming up where we get to run this again. Your list of 100 things that you have question marks on. Were there any that popped up on it this weekend that you didn't suspect?
No, I don't. I don't know that there was much this weekend that I didn't anticipate. You know, short of our qualifying performance, mm-hmm. I certainly didn't anticipate it to be that bad. Alex has qualified really well, and I knew that was going to be, you know, a challenge for us on race day to kind of overcome all of that. You know, you need to be in the mix and running at that top five pace the whole race to kind of dial in and tune in your car to know what you need. And we really had limited amount of laps that we had, you know, clear track, clean track, fresh tires at the pace that we needed to run. So that was really my only surprise. I think. You know, COTA is super challenging. I mean, I don't know how much you guys talk about it throughout the week leading up, but it, you know, it's taxing. There's a lot going on there, right? Like, I mean, we've got the edginess of all the high speed corners. You've got, you know, some of the biggest brake zones that we see. You're doing that every lap, you know, and then the real technical course through the stadium. Like, there's just so much different things that you need to go right. So I just kind of assume chaos when we go there always. So when it's not complete chaos the whole time, then maybe I feel a little bit better about it. But yeah, I think, you know, aero package specifically, I think maybe this, some of the things that you're alluding to, you know, I expected the brake zones to be a big deal, right? There should be, you know, less overall aero load on these cars. And I don't know that any of us were super comfortable or happy with, you know, how these cars perform in the brake zone anyways at a place like that, already that challenging. So to peel some downforce off and, you know, some of the changes with the repaves, I think it fell right in line with kind of what we anticipated.
Fascinating stuff, that's for sure. Blake, last year, a year ago, you were leading the point standings, and Alex had his broken back, and obviously the season went off the rails. How do you feel 6 races in now? And are you guys totally back? Are you getting back? Are you climbing back in? Where are you guys at now compared to where you were at a year ago with you and Alex on this 48 car?
Yeah, I'll kind of step through our season, really. I mean, we've only had 6 races, right? I mean, LA, I thought we had a relatively decent weekend, executed well. We had some short track stuff that we were trying to answer there that I think we did, that hopefully we can apply moving forward to some of the short tracks. Daytona, you know, short of a couple feet, almost perfect there, right?
Yeah.
And really just as a whole company, super pumped about what we were able to do with our super speedway program there. Mm-hmm. And then when you move on to, you know, Atlanta, we crashed in that first couple of laps, and Vegas, you know, we had some things we fought in the race that allowed it, set us back at the end of the race and didn't let us get the finishes. And then same thing at Phoenix. We drove up into the top 10 in that last weird pit cycle, you know, didn't get us to the finish that I think we deserve. So I think from an overall, you know, picture of how is this year going to last year? Well, last year at this point, you know, we were leading points and we had some more consistent finishes. But I just think the resilience of these guys to come off of Vegas and Phoenix, mm-hmm. you know, with every right probably to be down and feel like we're not doing it and not getting what we deserve, or from, you know, getting the effort that we put in out of it, and, you know, just to come rebound at Bristol with the chaos of that race and come back and have a solid top five finish and then really, you know, have a good execution last weekend to put us right in the mix. I'm really happy with how those guys reacted to that and how the team is. And, you know, I try to stay pretty steady as it goes, right? Regardless how good or bad the weekend went before, we know we got ahead of us this next weekend. We're focused on that, and you know, that's a big deal. So I don't know about grades or how it is this year to last year, but as far as, you know, where Alex is at, where the team is, man, we're putting a lot of work in. I'm really excited about where he's at right now, physically and mentally and all of us, man. I think we needed a couple shots in the arm, you know, a couple good finishes to just kind of solidify mm-hmm. all the work that we're putting in, right? Because you like to see that. So looking forward to carrying that into Richmond.
You brought up the challenges of Bristol, you know, tire wise, there was unanticipated wear. And I think Richmond, are we to a thicker tread gauge tire going to Richmond, much like the Martinsville tire? Or I mean, what are your thoughts on kind of the whole tire situation from Bristol coming forward?
Yeah, I'm probably a little partial to Bristol now, right? With how we finished and how we ran, you know, and maybe that's just the pure chaos of the race, based on last weekend in Bristol. I'm starting to think that's one of Alex's strengths. So I think we just need to keep it chaotic around him and let him go to work. But I didn't hate that. You know, I know we certainly, you know, certainly love to find a little bit happy medium, I'm sure, right? Like we don't want to have to pit in 20, 30 laps, but you know, we adapt, right? Like we've got a better idea of what we need, what we needed throughout that race. And, you know, that kind of showed in stage three, with everybody adjusting and the teams adjusting. And I mean, we went 60, 70 laps when we needed to. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, I think when we know just a slightly know going into the race, that's what we're going to be fighting against. We can adjust accordingly. Right. So, you know, certainly hope we don't overreact on any of that. And we kind of step through whatever it is that we need. And I think, it ended up being a bad race there at the end. And Richmond, you know, one of those that's had a little bit more tire wear, in general. And, you know, I like to see those races where, you know, there's a little bit of tire management and you got some guys coming and going throughout the race. And I think my guy is one of the best at it. Honestly, he does a phenomenal job when it comes to that. And we're really good on those runs where, you know, long run speed's important, tire management. So certainly looking forward to see if we can apply that to Richmond as well.
Yeah. And as you look at Richmond, I guess, you know, pit strategy has played. It's been one of those where that last segment seems like it could be two stop, could be one stop. There might be different things. Now we go as a spring race at night, going to be cooler. How's that affect what you anticipate?
Yeah, I mean, I would anticipate that that would probably lean you more towards that one stop at the end. But certainly we'll see what the degradation looks like throughout the race and how our cars are handling. But what's interesting for Richmond to me is what it looks like at the beginning of the race isn't always what it is at the end, right? Like you'll get those first couple of runs and you're like, man, these things are, you know, falling off and they're going to be terrible in the long run. We're for sure going to need a two stop there at the end. And then, you know, again, guys get to tune in on their stuff. The drivers go to work on managing their tires through the long run. And, you know, some guys can make that one stop work on that. And, you know, I think that would probably, you know, if you look at history on the spring race, script up, nighttime, certainly going to be slightly different than what we would see in the fall or really summer now when we run there and it's hot and slick.
Blake, I marvel at the level of detail you guys work on and from an engineering side, what you work on. I heard you talk about coming out in traffic at COTA. I heard your cohort, Rudy Fugel, talk about coming out in traffic with all of these pit stops at Richmond. How can you project that? How much energy in engineering goes into that, trying to determine coming off from pit road on a race like we're going to have Sunday night at Richmond? How much energy do you guys put into something like that?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, it's all those cycles now, right? And Rudy and I haven't talked about it specifically, but I mean, he was in a pretty good spot, and we certainly forced his hand on pitting right on the edge of his fuel window. but for us, we're there to win the race, and we tried to certainly take care of him once we weren't going to be able to get him for the lead. We raced those other guys as hard as we could to hopefully let him get gone enough to bring it home to HMS. But that's all of it now. You know, these cars, the drivers, you know, when you get inside the top 10, top 15, man, all these guys are so talented, and everybody's got similar equipment now. And once we get a full race of kind of getting them tuned in, you know, it's tough to get an edge. And, you know, if that edge is getting out in a little bit clearer traffic than a guy, or being able to jump them on a pit cycle, I mean, that's a big step, right? I mean, you know, ultimately the best car is going to have a shot to kind of get up through there, you know, in certain scenarios, depending on how aggressive you are on splitting stints and making all that time up. But, you know, overall, I think that's a big portion of what we do now. It's all, you know, you got to give them the best strategy that you can and give them some clean air. Anytime you can do that, they can typically make it happen.
The details always amaze me. They really do. When Rudy said that, and then you talked about it coming out of COTA, I'm like, I don't know. This is the difference between radio guys and engineers and crew chiefs, no doubt. And it's really fascinating. It really is. Blake, congratulations on the momentum that you guys have gotten. And we hope you can certainly continue it on with Richmond, Martinsville, and on throughout. We appreciate you joining us here this time on Crew Call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. We'll see you guys out there.
You got it. We'll see you up there. There you have it. Blake Harris, crew chief on the Ally Chevy Camaros for Alex Bowman.
Yes.
At Hendrick Motorsports. Stay tuned. More Crew Call in just a moment.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post. And I love Blake Harris. Two things. And one of them I stated during the interview. The level of detail that goes into this is unreal. The strategizing, the engineering as to projecting coming off from pit road in traffic or not traffic, that boggles my mind how you even do it when you look at trends and cycles and different other people. It's amazing.
We've done that for years now.
I understand. I'm not shocked at that, but there's another level of detail that's amazing.
We gave everybody the same cars, the same components, and the same elite programs are the ones winning the races because their focus on all the details is what still makes them exceptional.
This is where we talk about big teams versus little teams, engineering support. We've talked about this with the transition of JTG to Hendrick Motorsports, the transition of Front Row to Penske. It is great to have all of this information, but it's the layers and layers of engineering support to get to these details.
And not only just having the information, but being able to digest it. Mm-hmm. And that's having more people available that can look at the little details. And to his point, I mean, the difference, if you can look at it and figure out your pit cycle and come out in front of a car or if you look at traffic, if there's three or four cars are racing their guts out, you pit and fall in behind them, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So you just, they do these pieces. Amazing. It's how you have to, you can't leave any stone unturned. You've got to look at everything. And that's what these elite programs do. It put him in a fuel window position where he was tighter than he wanted to be. But the risk and reward was, I think I can get myself in a better position. Came out with a top four finish. Solid day for him.
The second thing about Blake is that us radio guys, we're ready to proclaim they're back. They're back to where they are. I love Blake's just like, okay, we need a little bit more time. We're better. We're better. We're better.
I like that you use the word back.
Yeah.
Since he broke his back.
Oh, my gosh. Now that's radio punning there. I like the pump the brakes here. We have two fourth place finishes. We were leading the points last year, but we have momentum.
They have momentum. And as Blake talked about, they got taken out at Atlanta in a situation. Yeah. That's just part of what speedway racing is.
Racing,
but 11th in points and building momentum. I think they've got a couple racetracks that they can... Yeah. It can be in a really good spot. He came out of here with an 8th place finish in the spring race last year at Richmond. So, be interesting to see how this weekend works out. It'll be interesting to see if Chevrolet is more competitive at Richmond than they were at Phoenix. As I kind of tried to tie that together, Blake said he wouldn't really take the road course data and apply it back to Phoenix. So let's see where this lower downforce simple diffuser package is for Chevrolet at Richmond and Martinsville.
See what happens. Richmond is always fascinating, though. The strategy, let the strategy begin. Let the games begin with strategy this weekend at Richmond.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of these racetracks that you end up, there is tire lap time fall off.
Yeah.
So you've got, as we talked with Blake about it, that last piece has been a one stop versus two stops. We saw a phenomenal race with Denny Hamlin beating William Byron on different strategies, but being a night race, it may lean it one way, but the tire, we'll see where Goodyear comes with that. I think they've made a couple changes. I haven't gotten the breakdown on that yet, so I'll be interested to see where that plays out this weekend.
Going to be fun, that is for sure. Always fun going up to the Commonwealth of Virginia, the capital city up at Richmond. We've got a busy weekend up there, and I love it. I love getting back to the racetrack, as we will, and we'll get back Friday night with the NASCAR Wheelin' Modified. Virginia is for Racing Lovers 150. Love my modifieds. Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m., NASCAR Cup Series practice and qualifying. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Saturday, the Toyota Care 250 for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Sunday night, Easter Sunday night, 6 p.m., the Toyota Owners 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series. It'll be a fun, fun weekend, that is for sure, up in Richmond. Always is.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be a great weekend to see where things go. I'm going to do what Steve Post usually does, but I'm going to ask you, if you like what we're providing here, like it, subscribe to it, post it on your social media pieces, share the word. Love what we get to do, love the time that these crew chiefs give us, and give you a little more in-depth view of what our whole garage and sport's about.
It really is fun. We have a great time with it, that is for sure, and good stuff for sure. Hey, that's going to do it. That's going to put a bow around this one. We, again, appreciate Blake Harris from over at Hendrick Motorsports joining us here on Crew Call. More important than all of that, though, thank you for joining us this time here on MRN's Crew Call.